I suck at jujitsu. How do I suck less?
I guess
this
sucks less.
Ladies and gentlemen, the
Bellator
Heavyweight Champion, the leader of
Hey everybody, this is Josh McKinney, and I just want to welcome you to the newest episode of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show. So, today, I told you guys to look for this episode because we're going to do something a little different on it. And I've been wrestling with this idea and just kind of paying attention to kind of the listener numbers and especially the engagement, the amount of response that I get from each episode on the show. And what I've been noticing lately is that our interviews have been doing very well, but our solo episodes have kind of fallen off. And I always try to, you know, pay attention to these things and just always try to update and make things better. And if I'm being totally honest, my enjoyment of the Thursday episodes, these solo casts where we do deep dives on things, my enjoyment of these has kind of fallen off lately. I just have found it harder to find things to talk about for 45 minutes straight. And that kind of brought me to a different thought. And maybe it's time to make a change. I still want to keep doing Thursday episodes, and I want them to be solo episodes, but I think I want to change what those solo episodes kind of feel like and kind of sound like. I think that when the podcast was doing better on solo episodes, one of the main things that people would comment was that they loved the rants. And just the kind of the variety of things that got talked about, even when I was doing a deep dive. And then it created this problem that, like, I would then deep dive on all these topics, and I almost have been running out of things to say. And so what I thought might be better is having a little more of a listener-engaged type of show on Thursdays. And I'm just going to kind of do this as an experiment. I actually have some thoughts on names for what this Thursday segment is going to be. I'll share a few of them with you, but I'm going to create kind of a few polls on Instagram, and that'll be how I decide on what we're going to name this. But let me give you some of the top ones just while we are on the topic. I really liked, and of course, most of these are ChatGPT names. I really liked McKinney's Matt Musings. I thought that was pretty good. My favorite right now is Josh's Jiu-Jitsu Journal. And the reason I like that is because, one, it's kind of hard to say. But two, I do feel like a lot of people's favorite things are me just journaling what I'm going through in jiu-jitsu as a black belt, as a coach, as a competitor. And, you know, I really think that that is a lot of my focus, or is going to be a lot of the focus on these episodes. And then what was the other one? Oh, this one also hard to say was Jiu-Jitsu Gyms with Josh. Obviously, Jim is G-E-M and not G-Y-M. But I just thought that maybe doing something a little different where we do a little more Q&A each episode. And I just think I have a plan for these deep dives. I'm not going to get away from these deep dives where we look at running a gym, where we look at training method, where we look at all these other things. I actually have a different idea for those. I can't share too much because I'm not even started really on that idea. I really think that doing something a little more engaging with you guys and getting to hear from you guys more would be better for me, more fun for me, and I really think it'll be more fun for the listener. And so what we're going to do today is we are going to do, you know, I always joke that the show is if you took like a really good jiu-jitsu podcast and then you crossed it with Bill Burr's Monday Morning Podcast. I always joke that that's what the Thursday episodes are. And I kind of like that. And I kind of want to lean more into that. And I really want to more talk about what's on my mind more than here is a specific topic. And I really think that we can actually help you guys as the listener even more with this. And so I think that is all I want to say before we kind of get into the subtle topic of today, because I'm going to do more Q&A. But this is just something that's been on my mind lately, and I thought we could talk about it. And it is this thing that destroys jiu-jitsu for so many people. It is this thing that robs so many people of jiu-jitsu. And it is, as silly as this sounds, as second grade soccer as this sounds, it is things that cause you to stop having fun in your jiu-jitsu training. Something we talk about all the time on the show. Special note, notice I didn't do the paint can, the spray paint can being shaken up and then sprayed. Random little note, there was a really funny, I want to say it was on Instagram, where people were trying to guess what was actually being sprayed on the spray paint, like that, and one of the guys, Stevie Starlight, had the absolute best idea of what was being spray painted. I won't share it with you guys. Maybe it'll jump on my Instagram at some point again. Yeah, no doubt was the best explanation of what was being sprayed in the background. It was actually just some random sound effect that I found. So there was nothing actually being sprayed. But anyway, so I think that for most people, we all start jiu-jitsu maybe with different motivations, with the motivation of losing weight, of self-defense. I had a guy come in this week, and he said, you know, we had a mutual friend, and this mutual friend has trained forever and is very, very tough. And he said, yeah, my goal is to beat that guy. And we both laughed, and I was like, all right, let's be consistent then, because that's going to take a lot. That guy's tough. And so, you know, we all have different motivations for why we come into jiu-jitsu. But I want to say, for almost everybody, we stay with jiu-jitsu, especially in the beginning, because it is so much fun. It is so much fun to be an adult and get to play a game like jiu-jitsu, get to play such a physical, yes, it's a sport, yes, it's an art, but in truth, each time we roll, it is the start and the finish of a new game, of you know, the same way that we play a video game or the same way that we play a board game. It's just more violent. And I look at this and I see that there are these things that everybody deals with, myself included, that start to make jiu-jitsu less enjoyable, start to make jiu-jitsu less fun. And I just wanted to kind of talk about some of those things. And like I said, I have like 5 questions for the Q&A, and you guys know how long-winded I am when I answer questions, so I'll try to get to those relatively quickly. But I wanted to start with just a more simple topic, and it's that you should be having fun in jiu-jitsu. And how I look at it is there are just a few things that will rob you of that fun. And the first one for me, and this is something that's happened to me quite a few times over and over in my jiu-jitsu, is competition. Whether that being competition at the tournament or competition in the gym, so often being too competitive and caring too much about the competition can actually ruin jiu-jitsu for you, and ruin jiu-jitsu for me. And it has done this many times, where you just get so focused on the result, on your performance each day at the gym, on your performance each tournament that you do, and you decide that your happiness and your relationship with jiu-jitsu will be directly correlated with whether or not you are winning. And the problem is, for everybody, eventually you stop winning. You stop, you know, or for everybody, there's always somebody better than you. You know, so you get promoted to your next belt and then you're losing again. And if your happiness was just the fact that you were dominating at white belt and now you're a blue belt, you're going to quit jiu-jitsu. you will not stay. You know, there are so many other things in life that we hate doing that we have to do, right? A lot of people hate their jobs, and you have to go to that job because you need money. And jiu-jitsu isn't something that we have to do. And as soon as we make it something that we hate, it's very easy to go, well, shoot, I pay hundreds of dollars a month. I pay thousands of dollars a year with gis and instructionals and seminars and gym fees. And I hate this. Well, I'll just stop paying that. I'll just stop doing this. And so for so many people, that obsession with performance can ruin jiu-jitsu. And I do this to myself too. Get so obsessed with what tournaments I'm going to do and how I am going to compete and how I want to win and how I want to prove something. And the problem is, to a lot of people that maybe listen to the show, they go, well, Josh, you've proven stuff. But that feeling of wanting to prove something, it can never be satisfied. It can never, you will never have beaten the right people. You will never have won enough tournaments when performance is your only focus. You know, I really loved something that Mark Vives was talking about the episode on Tuesday. He said something along the lines of, keep in mind, every single one of these times that you compete, every single training session that you go in, it's just practice for the next time. You know, it's just practice for the next one, and it's practice for the next one. And so don't worry about the result. Worry about your practice. And I think in jiu-jitsu, that is so helpful if you can start thinking in those terms. And so as I kind of look at some other things that will rob people of jiu-jitsu or rob people of the enjoyment of jiu-jitsu, I think we just did belt promotions at my gym, and it was this really fun night. And my dad always gives this speech on don't chase the belt, enjoy the journey. And to understand, this speech is coming from somebody who's 62 years old. And, you know, jiu-jitsu to him was this way to bond with his son. And of course, this also, this fun outlet. And now it's the business that he and his son, you know, he and I share together. And if we were obsessed with the result and we were obsessed with the belt, it would have robbed us of that joy. And he was something, and honestly, I that was something I never struggled with, was worrying about what belt I was going to be at. And I think being a competitor helped me not worry about that, because I could always go and test myself and go, okay, well, I'm not the best purple belt in the world, so I guess it's not like I have to have my brown belt yet. You know, like it's this, I give this example too, you know, so many black belts will explain to you that the belt doesn't matter. And that is because they get there and they get to the pinnacle, they get to the top, and they go, wow, this changed nothing. This, you know, maybe people bow to me a little more than they should. Maybe people call me professor now, but it changes nothing. I'm no different than when I was a brown belt, you know? And when I was a brown belt, I could look back and go, man, I really don't feel much different than when I was a purple belt. When I was a purple belt, the same for blue. Obviously, white belts aren't people, and so at least you became a person when you became a blue belt. But I look at that, and when you get obsessed with it, it can rob you of your joy of jiu-jitsu. Now, don't get me wrong. I do think that belts matter. And the reason I say that is because I got to promote my first ever person who got every belt under me. I've promoted to black belt a few people, but all of them got some of their belts under other people. This is the first guy that I ever got to promote all through me, blue belt, purple belt, brown belt, and black belt. And when I see that, I go, wow, that was special for me. Even though the belt doesn't matter, even though I promoted him on Monday, and on Sunday he was just as good at jiu-jitsu, right? He didn't get better when I gave them the belt. But they do signify certain things. And to me, one of the biggest thing that a belt signifies is consistency and hard work. And so if you're not getting the belt that you think you deserve, you got to keep being consistent. You got to keep working hard. to me, that is the only way that you will get to that belt. And maybe it will take years and years and years. And then when you get that next belt, you will realize, oh, wow, this didn't actually matter. And this is why I always joke, like when black belts say, you know, yeah, I don't care about belts. I always think of like that same idea of, I think it's a scene. Oh man, I want to say it's a scene in Catch Me If You Can. I know it's Leonardo DiCaprio saying this. I don't know why I always have Leonardo DiCaprio analogies for my jiu-jitsu, but it might be The Aviator where he says it. Regardless, he is at maybe his wife, his girlfriend's family dinner, and they they live in this beautiful house, and they have maids, they have everything, and the mom says something along the lines of, "Well, yeah, money doesn't matter to us." And Leonardo DiCaprio goes, "Well, that's because you have it." And she's like, "Well, what are you saying?" He's like, "Money doesn't matter to you because you have it." And that's the same with a black belt. You know, the belt doesn't matter to most black belts because we have it. But there is also the understanding, the other side of that. People with money tend to understand that they are still not fulfilled because of their money. People with the black belt understand that they are not fulfilled because of that piece of cloth. You're fulfilled, in jiu-jitsu at least, because of the journey and how you treat the journey and how you enjoy the journey. And so, you know, other things that might rob you of your enjoyment of jiu-jitsu is the culture at where you train. Sometimes the culture is not a good fit for you. And, you know, I always say you shouldn't just deal in these absolutes where it's just like good or bad. And people in jiu-jitsu do that all the time. And so I think a big way to prevent that is to go, okay, well, I am not going to, you know, I can leave this gym because I don't fit it. It doesn't mean that I hate everybody there. It doesn't mean that it's a terrible place. And that's like in jiu-jitsu, in life, I always say that I always will make the analogy of like, you know, growing up in churches, you see so many people that loved the church that they were in, and then they have a bad relationship or they have a bad fight with somebody, and then they're like, this church is terrible and I hate everybody there. And it doesn't have to be that way. You could just say, this church is not a good fit for me, and leave and go somewhere else that is a better fit. And jiu-jitsu schools are the same way. My school is very focused on competitors. Not everybody is a competitor, but the focus on what we teach, the focus on what we focus on, tends to be for competitors. And so somebody who is just a non-competitor and doesn't want to learn that way or wants to focus more on self-defense, maybe it's not the perfect fit for them. And that's okay. It doesn't have to be, well, now we hate you because this place wasn't the perfect fit. This very specific place with a very specific goal was not the perfect fit for you. And so, you know, cultures can rob you of your fun of jiu-jitsu, but most of the time it is ourselves that rob ourselves of the joy of training jiu-jitsu, the fun of training jiu-jitsu. And I just see it in so many places. I think that competition can and should be this incredibly fun thing. But I see so many people that get so frustrated because the ref screwed them over, quote unquote, or, you know, something else happened and they let it ruin jiu-jitsu for them. And so one of the best things that I think that people can do is simply focus on what makes jiu-jitsu fun for them. Because when you do that, you will show up consistently. You will get great. You will get to your next belt. You will become a better competitor because it is way easier to wake up in the morning and have this fun thing to look forward to at 6 o'clock than it is to have this job at six where you have to go win and you have to go, you know, you have to go work for your next belt and you have to go put all these other things in your way. But that was on my mind today. Like I said, I'm not going deep dive like I normally do where we talk about fun for 45 minutes. I think I just wanted to kind of give you guys that and just give you that thought, what I've been thinking of. Like I said, I have a few questions. I had a few questions actually quite a few questions on how baby Matthew is doing. He is, I think, 4 weeks old now. And let me tell you guys, he's disrespectful. And like, you know, I know you're saying, look, he's 4 weeks old, Josh. How could he be disrespectful? Listen, he's disrespectful. I'm telling you guys, I've got a disrespectful son. He is, as my wife tells me, he's being a real McKinney today. He's been a real McKinney every day. He's disrespectful. I'm a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and that matters. And this kid doesn't show any respect. He doesn't. He peed on me. You know how often people pee on me in my gym at Head Nod HQ? Never, because they respect me. This dude's got no respect. No respect. Doesn't respect my sleep schedule. No respect. Doesn't respect his mom. No respect. I don't know what to do about that. I'm still pretty clueless in this, but I do know he's a bad kid. I'm totally kidding. Obviously, I am very, it's been obviously the hardest thing I've ever done, of course. But it really has been fun and an adventure too. Fun in quotes. It'll be fun to look back on. You know, it's just been this thing where, you know, with all these, that, a lot of the questions that I got from having a new son is like, how are you balancing it? And for right now, me balancing my training is just enjoying my training, you know, and not letting it, obviously jiu-jitsu is my job, but not letting it feel like a job and getting to go in and roll with the people that I have fun rolling with. And I found myself kind of looking forward to that, even though I'm very tired and even though I don't feel like it. You know, it really has been a big change where I've gotten to look more forward to my jiu-jitsu training because dealing with a baby that's disrespectful is hard. And, you know, that's kind of, I think, why having fun in your training and for me, having fun doing the podcast is really important. And it not feeling like a job is really important to me because that's the only way that I will do it forever. And so, those are the answering the many questions that I've gotten about baby Matthew. How is he doing? He's disrespectful. So now we'll go ahead and we'll get into some different questions that I got. I think I have six. We'll see how many we answer. So first question, hi Josh. I've noticed some of my training partners have a very competitive and ego-driven approach, which makes training uncomfortable at times. Examples, slapping the mats and going crazy hard after losing a round. How do you suggest dealing with this type of environment in the gym? So, I think a few things to unpack. One, training feeling uncomfortable at times is different than training feeling dangerous at times, right? Because slapping the mats and going crazy hard after losing a round, I think, are two different things. I would say one thing that you should always look at is you should always look at yourself first. You should always go internal first. And you got to ask yourself, am I also being very competitive and ego-driven in my training? Am I going super hard and they're meeting me with intensity? And I think so many people won't do that. They'll always look at what the other person's doing. And so you look at that and you go, so what I mean is you always hear people saying, yeah, I was trying to flow roll, but then freaking Dave was going way too hard. And then the next thing I know, we're rolling live. Well, that's on you, right? Because it takes two to tango. You have to be going hard and ramping up your intensity for Dave to be doing the same. Because if you were still at the float rolling pace, he would just submit you and he would submit you a couple times. And then you would just remind Dave, hey, we're just flowing, man. Chill out. But the fact that the roll is escalating to 100% means that you are escalating it too. And so it's so easy to assume that it's everybody else's fault. But sometimes you're also part of the ego-driven part of your you know, of your gym. Sometimes that's not the case, though. Sometimes it is actually that training partner. And I think that there are a couple ways to handle this. First, you can just mention it to people. If you just say, hey, man, you know, I'm not trying to offend you when we're rolling, that you don't have to go so hard. You know, and you actually call it out. Most of the time, people don't recognize stuff in themselves, like I just said. And if you kindly just say, hey, you know, I got to go back to working as a dentist and you're trying to kill me right now, you know, because I swept you. Like, you don't have to do that. It's okay. But you can also, the second thing, you can also just not roll with that person. And I think that this is often the simplest answer. And I look at this being the simplest answer because you really, you know, at your gym, you really only have 4 or 5 training partners that you roll with consistently. And that person just doesn't have to be one of them, especially if you feel like you're in danger. I think back to when I used to do women's self-defense seminars, and you'd always get these questions about basically like, how do I say no to someone and stick with it? You know, because I don't want to hurt their feelings. And to me, you have to value your physical well-being over their feelings. It is incredibly important to do that because feelings can get hurt and absolutely nothing happens. But physically, if you get hurt, a lot happens. And so you cannot worry too much about like telling somebody that goes too hard and that is a bad training partner for you when they ask you to roll, like, oh, no, thanks. And then if they ask you, like, well, why not? You can be honest. You can say, you know, you just go too hard. I'm afraid you're going to hurt me and I don't want to get hurt. And so there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that if you just are honest with people, a lot of times people are, you know, nobody is honest with each other. And then people just internalize that it's everybody else's fault. And so a lot of times just that little bit of being honest will make a big difference. Next, we'll look at, hey, Josh, I have a question for you. I have my first tournament coming up in 2 months. I don't know when this email was sent to me, so you could have had your 6th tournament already. I found your competition mindset episodes very helpful. My coach says I need a game plan for the tournament, but I haven't heard much about this on your podcast. How do you develop a successful game plan / strategy for jiu-jitsu competitions? Also, if there's an episode on this, could you point me to it? So I don't really have any game plan episodes because my thoughts on game plan and strategy in jiu-jitsu, especially early on, are very loose. I think your game plan, and I've talked to my wrestling coach, one of my black belts, Eric Huebner, about this on the podcast. Your focus should be your first 3 moves, meaning collar grip, try to snap down, try to take your shot, right? First 3 movements, collar grip, foot in the hip, pull guard. And when you do that, and the reason it's your first 3 movements is because those are pretty much all you have the ability to control in a jiu-jitsu match. And they will get you into the what we call the just do jiu-jitsu mindset. Because when we train in the gym, you're probably not game planning very much. You're just trying to win rounds. Again, when we're training live, where the goal is just to win rounds. You're just feeling your way through it and you're trying to win rounds. And so to me, it's more of a mindset that you're in that allows you to perform in jiu-jitsu. And so it's more about in the competition, how do I set myself up for that mindset? If you have no game plan of the first 3 moves, but you're just like, I'm gonna close guard, scissor sweep this guy to mount, and then I'm gonna go for my cross collar choke, and then if he stops it, I'm gonna go for my arm bar, and you have this whole game plan, but you didn't plan your first 3 moves, and then your opponent pulls guard on you, and you get tunnel vision. You're like, wait, what am I going to do now? This is not my game plan. And so sometimes the game plan obsession can actually mess you up because you don't get into your game plan. To me, the game plan should be to just do jiu-jitsu, should be to just grapple. When you're in guard, you're trying to sweep or submit. When you're on top, you're trying to pass the guard and pin the person. And then from there, you know, it's each step at a time. It's not like you're on top of a guy in his guard and you're going, I'm going to cross collar choke you from mount. That's so far away. There are so many things that could happen. You could score points and he starts to take dumb risks and it gives you an armbar, but you don't take that armbar because you're so focused on being in mount and you're so focused on your cross collar choke because it was your game plan. And so when I think game plan, I think simple strategy. Even for me, I think in my division, I'm one of the few guys that can actually fight from the feet and pull guard and do about the same from either. So for me, my game plan is generally going to be whether I'm going to pull guard or whether I'm going to try to wrestle. And then from there, I just grapple. If I get on top, I'm going to probably try to pass the guy's guard, try to take his back. I just do jiu-jitsu. And so to me, it's less about game plan and it's more about those first three moves. That's what my game plan is. My first three moves so that I can get myself in a state of actually doing jiu-jitsu. Now we'll go. I really like this one. Hi, Josh. I'm a blue belt, mainly training in the gi, but I want to start no gi. Big mistake. Don't do it. Just joking. What are the key differences I should focus on, and how can I make this transition smoothly? So I would say key differences are going to understand that a lot of gi guards do not exist in no-gi. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't, you know what I mean? Like, if you're a guard player, I think you still play guard, but you have to understand that, like, knee shield is so valuable because it's going to get you to give you the ability to get to the guards that actually exist in no-gi. Half guards get you underneath guys to X and to K guard and to single leg X, and then even to closed. But understand that, like, knee shield is almost the equivalent of De La Hiva guard in the gi. And that's not to say that you can't play De La Hiva guard in no-gi. It's just, it's not a guard you see people, quote unquote, play, like be in for a long period of time. It's like a sweeping position, right? And so I think when you look at that and you understand that from the top and the bottom perspective, also that guard retention tends to be easier for no-gi because it's just harder to finish guard passes. And so as the top player, you should focus more on flattening people, you know, even understanding the importance of smashed half guard, and how to beat knee shield, because like we said, that's where you're going to be most of the time in no-gi. And then as the bottom player, you should be focused on what guards can I actually play that tie into this new guard retention that I'm going to have. Once you get past that, I feel like you're so close to people. Like, once the guard is passed, underhooks and head control matter a ton in the gi, and they matter a ton in no-gi. You know, armpit and trap control matter a ton in both. And so I think that as you get closer to people, the game stops feeling so different. But there's this whole different distance that can be played in the gi where I can grab your pant legs and you can put me in spider guard. And that distance almost doesn't exist in no-gi. And so to me, just understanding that, if you're a bottom player, work your knee shield. If you're a top player, work your knee shield passing. And I know that there's a very simplified answer, but also there's not a ton of specificity in this question, so I don't know how you like to play jiu-jitsu, and then even what your intention is in starting no-gi. And then, of course, make sure that you have some leg lock defense. Make sure that you start to understand leg lock defense. I will throw a video from my YouTube channel in the description of this episode. And it is way too aggressively titled about how you can defend every leg lock. That's probably not true, but it really will give you a general framework of leg lock defense. Now let's go into next one. Okay, if you want to get an email answered by me, start it with something like this. Josh, I've been following your show for a while. Great opening line. And recently discovered your YouTube channel. I watched a video about your jiu-jitsu being bizarre, and it really was obvious that you have an odd style of jiu-jitsu. And after odd, he put, hopefully that's not offensive to say. No, it is not offensive. I agree. It is definitely odd. How did you develop your personal style in jiu-jitsu, and what advice do you have for someone trying to find their own style on the mats? First advice, don't worry about having your own style. at first. For most people in the beginning, just try to learn what is being taught to you. But as you start to get to this point where you know a lot of moves and you're having trouble deciding what moves to do, this is when you start to develop a style. And to me, the best way to develop a style is to stop just listening to one person and start to try to get as many perspectives as you can. I think that when I watch online, there are some phenomenal online instructors, but I think that some people get so obsessed with single instructors, that like this one guy, and they think that everything that they say is perfect fact. And there's this big problem where you're actually not getting to conversate with this guy. And so what he's explaining, you might not even be understanding completely, but you're so excited to spout it off on the comments on my YouTube channel. But it's like this thing where you go, you know, like I'm going to listen to everything that Danaher says because he produces the best guy. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's when you start to just take every one sentence that he says and then just assume that that means you understand what he's talking about. You probably don't. When you look at how deep his understanding is, you're probably not even scratching the surface. And one of the best ways you can understand something more deeply is to get more perspective. Because what'll happen is you'll start to get like Lachlan Giles. You'll start to get his perspective. And then you'll start to get the perspective of this guy over here and this guy over here. And then what will start to happen is then you will start to go, so that's what Danaher meant. Oh, that's what he meant by saying this. I thought he meant something completely different. And so I think there comes a point where you start to have this general understanding. For most of us, it's a general understanding that our coach gives us, what our coach values, what our coach thinks is important. And then from there, I think it's very important to start to get other perspectives. And you don't have to, you know, it's just that same idea. You don't have to be like, oh, well, my coach is wrong now. No, your coach gave you a great base. Now, see, you will learn, you will start to, like, if you look at jiu-jitsu this way, you'll start to, like, have these little flashbacks to, like, wow, my coach said something almost exactly like that when I was a white belt. I just wasn't ready for it at that time. And so to develop your own style, you get multiple perspectives, because those multiple perspectives are going to allow you to make jiu-jitsu work for your body and for your goals. But I don't think you should set off with this goal of, well, I want to have this cool, crazy style. I think that we go back to that idea from the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Think first to understand and then to be understood. And so I think when you do that, what starts to happen is you start to go, I want to know more. I want to know more. And then you can start to create your own style. But so many people want to be so understood when they're a blue belt. And they're like, well, this is what I think. And this is what I like to do. You know, you don't even know what you like to do. By the time you're a brown belt, if you got to meet yourself at brown belt, your brown belt self would slap you in the face. And they would say, hey, you're stifling your own learning because you think you know, and you don't. And even for me as a black belt, that's a coach, that's a competitor, and that tries to help other people explain jiu-jitsu, I do not believe that I know. I think that there are certain things that I know, but what's funny about these certain things that I know is I seem to know them deeper and deeper and deeper each year. Therefore, I never actually knew. I just kind of knew. I'm just kind of understanding. And I think that when you look at jiu-jitsu that way, I think it makes a huge difference for your individual growth and your personal style is what's kind of asked about this. Okay, two finishers. I've answered 4 so far. When should Christmas music be played at the gym? So this year, I've been trying to hold out. I'm almost to Thanksgiving, obviously the day after Thanksgiving. Totally Christmas music. I recommend having your own Christmas playlist at the gym. For ours, we've got like the DMX Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and then, you know, that's about the vibes that you get. And you know, I think it's, if you guys want to listen, I'm pretty sure it's like Head Nod Christmas on Amazon Music. And so But don't think that there's anything wrong with listening to Christmas music the day after Halloween and playing it at the school. If you get to teach the class, you get to choose the playlist and, you know, be empowered. Other last question, also about Christmas. People ask me anytime I ask for question and answer stuff. Literally, I always get this question. And it's from the beginning of the show. This was just a fun little talking point that we had. And it is Die Hard a Christmas movie? And obviously, it is. But I will say this. It was pointed out to me last year by one of the black belts from Revive, Amanda. She goes, I really love on your podcast how you say to not deal in absolutes. And then she goes, and I really love on your podcast how 5 minutes later you say, Die Hard is absolutely a Christmas movie. And so currently, this is what I believe. For me and my family, I am raising my son the right way to understand that Die Hard is a Christmas movie. But if you, in your household, you only want to watch Die Hard in the summer, which makes no sense because the movie's on Christmas Eve, into Christmas, and is a Christmas party, then more power to you. If you want to raise your son in an unhappy household, then more power to you. But that is where we're going to finish today's episode. Like I said, this one was a different one. And I will be, if you guys have any fun suggestions for what the name of these Thursday episodes could be, I really think that for at least a while that we're going to lean this way towards the Thursday episodes, where we're just doing a little more Q&A and just keeping it a little lighter. But if you have questions, you have topics, send me an email, josh@simplifyingjujutsu.com. I will soon, within the next couple weeks, have a link on, like, at the bottom of every episode where you can just click on it and you can just ask your question right there. You don't have to send an email. But if you have any questions that would be fun topics for this kind of the new segment, what was the one I said I was favoring? The Josh's Jiu-Jitsu Gyms? No, it was Jiu-Jitsu Gyms with Josh. I like Josh's Jiu-Jitsu Gyms better. Or Josh's Jiu-Jitsu Journal, one of those two. Yeah, if you have any suggestions for the name of this or for questions to be asked, be sure to send them in, and I would be happy to answer them. And if you like this format, if you don't like this format, let me know. The thing that I care about the most on this podcast is the people that are listening right now, is the people that enjoy listening to the show. And so if you're one of those people, just let me know. I want to hear from you. I want to know what your guys' opinion is on these things, because you guys are the ones who care. And so, yeah, that's all I have for you guys today. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and I hope today's episode helps you guys suck just a little bit less at jiu-jitsu. Have a great day, guys.